This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. We're joined by Mr. John Schwartz. He is the founder for the Center for Combating Financial or Elder Financial Abuse, I should say. John, how was the center founded in the first place? Why is it in existence now?
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Freddie. Thank you very much. We founded the center approximately 2 years ago on February 8th, 2021, and that was less than 2 weeks after I retired after my 24 years as a FBI special agent. And I set up the center because we wanted to educate individuals on the size and scope of the threat posed by financial predators, that these predators are real, they're out there, and they can wipe out your entire life savings before you realize it.
How can you know if you're being victimized by a predator? Because I know that their tactics are stealthy, but are there telltale signs that, that you may not be dealing with somebody whom you think might be on the up and up?
Yeah, so there's 11 different attack vectors that these financial predators will use, whether it's the romance scheme, a tech support scheme, a sweepstakes scheme, or somebody knocking on your door and they're the handyman scheme, or it could be an investment scheme. So what I would say in all of these is that the one thing that you'll see in these is that the individual contacting you will try to rush you. And sometimes they'll try to intimidate you and scare you. We had a tech support scheme, and I call this the flashbang technique. In action movies, we've all seen flashbangs used in these action movies, but they're designed to create confusion and disorientation. That's exactly what these predators are trying to do when they approach a victim. They'll try to speed up the process. They'll try to scare you. Like a tech support scheme, saying that you have multiple hackers on your computer, and you'll be confused and disoriented, and that's exactly where they want to lead you. So it's activities like that, Freddie. If you detect that, if your gut feeling saying, you know, this is going too fast, this isn't making sense, that may be a strong sign that this is a predator.
Is that what happened with John McKendrick, an 80-year-old Navy veteran?
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. And I do. I use that flashbang analogy because he thought it all originated from he saw a suspicious charge on his credit card. So he called the number of the company, and then, you know, they started leading him down the road. But they did speed up the process, and they were able to confuse and disorient him and then convince him that he needed to make deposits, which he thought was into his own account. But as it turned out, it was to their account. And within a week, Freddie, his life savings was gone. And the sad part about this is this only happened a couple of months ago, back in March.
Are there three things that you can leave us with this weekend that can help to protect not only the victims, but the families, the things that families can do to protect their loved ones against this kind of abuse?
Yeah, thank you, Freddie. That's a great idea. So the first thing that I would say is, the elderly and family members should come together and have a conversation. What you're doing in that conversation is that you are assessing the elderly individual, because that's exactly what the predators do. So do an assessment. If the elderly and the family members are maybe 65, both spouses are still alive, they're active, they're probably low risk. But in Mr. McKendrick's situation, 80 years old, he's lost his wife. Maybe he was at a much higher risk than the 65-year-old. So do the assessment. I think that's important. And then also harden the target. Make it more difficult for the predators. A couple of suggestions there is maybe take a look at getting another telephone number. If the elderly person has had this number for a number of telephone number for a number of years, and you keep getting solicitations on it, maybe it's time to get an additional phone number, and that would be your safe number. Then finally, consider freezing your credit. But those are a couple of suggestions I have, Freddie.
How can we get more information from the center and contact you if there are questions that our listeners might have in this subject?
Thank you very much, Freddie. So we have a website, and it's, I'll spell it, that's endefa.org. And I'll spell it again, endefa.org. Please go to our website. We have summaries of 18 convicted predators. It's a learning tool. And also, if you want to contact me, simply hit the contact button.
All right, John Schwartz, thanks for enlightening us this weekend. And let's talk again real soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Freddie.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. And with me is Mr. Joe McKenzie. Don't laugh, Joe. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like to learn more about Joe McKenzie and the fine work he does, RippleConnects.com is the website. The telephone number is 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, hello and welcome back to the show.
For 9 years, we've been speaking with the New Beginnings listeners and really, you know, doing some great work together. And it's because of you, my career has catapulted and gone beyond what I ever could think. So thank you for investing in me.
Thank you very much. You're awfully kind, and it makes me smile. And I believe that's what we're talking about this weekend, your own self-value.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Invest in yourself. And this is, Freddie, this is the week that I like to look at your, I go through your book quite often, and this one stood out to me. Invest in yourself. These are your words to the wise. And I hear that often. Mm-hmm. Invest in yourself. But you know what? Often without any kind of guidance. Freddie, how do you help someone to take actual steps to invest in themselves?
It's really interesting because your question makes me think about a conversation I had with a student not long ago. And I was asked a similar question. What does this mean in your book, Words of the Wise, Freddie Bell? And I said, well, if you read the preface to the book, you can open to any page and let that page speak to you. So it means what it means to you. I mean, I can have a value statement around those three words, invest in yourself, but it could mean anything. So I might be in front of someone who's having a health issue. So maybe invest in yourself, heard by that individual, could mean, well, yeah, you're right. I only have this one body. So perhaps it's important for me to invest in what's going to give me the opportunity for a long and healthy life. Maybe I need to walk 30 minutes a day. I've heard you talk about that before, Freddie Bell. Maybe walking 30 minutes a day can stem the tide of Alzheimer's. Maybe I'm talking to somebody else and they're talking about getting good sleep. You know, maybe they're hearing this and says, well, you know what? I've only been getting 2 or 3 hours of sleep. I'm just worried. I stay up trying to figure things out. But maybe if I go to bed and wake up at the same time every day, maybe if I use, I don't know, a sound machine, Joe McKenzie, or something like that to get 8 hours of good sleep, investing in yourself could mean that to that particular individual. It takes on different characteristics depending upon who's reading it and at what time they read it in their lives.
So, Freddie, what I hear you saying is invest in yourself. Those words, it's up to the individual on what that means. And if it's going to be career-related, health-related, relationship-related, you help them to see what those next steps could be. But you start with, you ask them questions on, you know, where do you want to go with this? How do you invest in yourself? And then you move out from there. That's what I hear you saying, versus many people use invest in yourself as a catchphrase and they really don't back it up. But you do. You hear that person, but then you also open up the world to them. If in this case it was health, getting more sleep, getting more exercise, and that's investing in themselves.
Absolutely. I hear you talk often about your careers, and let's just look at it from that perspective. So if you're looking at the job market and how you evolve as an individual, how you evolve and how companies evolve, for example, maybe you decide that it's important to keep up your skill level in a particular area. And so maybe you think that maybe my skill gap is wide. Maybe I need to close that gap. So maybe I need to go back to a trade school and develop certain skills, maybe in software. I've heard of a new program called Slack. A lot of people don't know what Slack is, but maybe that's something that I need to learn more about. Maybe I need to develop my, I don't know, analytical skills. Maybe I need to develop how to become a real leader and take some self-advancement courses that help me to hone those skills for that career that I'm trying to move into or to expand in. So it can take on a lot of different colors. It's like the coat of many colors. What's important to you right now is typically where an individual needs to invest in themselves. I also heard you talk about expanding your network. We talked about that last week for a person going into retirement. You know that I did some research after we talked last week, Joe McKenzie.
Okay.
85% of jobs are filled through networking. And we talked about networking last week. So maybe investing in yourself involves taking some time to grow your network by connecting with professionals who can help you to get from where you are to where you want to be.
That's right. And that's a stat that just jumps out. But you also know what you've been talking about is that's the starting point. And sometimes a new career or that skills gap or just that anxiety over your current job, you know, it has to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And other things fall into place. So I think that's how you're helping somebody with this book and your coaching is it has to start somewhere, but even just getting more sleep, getting better health, or just having, you know, finding a different job, a lot of things. Now the opportunity is there for you to invest in yourself in different areas of your life. That's what I hear you saying.
Right. I think when we hear that phrase, invest in yourself, we automatically start thinking about money. Maybe I need to go buy this software or I need to invest in this course. Now think about this one, Joe McKenzie. How about if you invest time in your family? You know, family is really, in my opinion, it's really important. So maybe we can show a little bit more how much our family means to us by investing a bit more. There's that word, investing more in our family. Maybe it's cooking a meal together, and maybe you don't cook normally. Well, maybe this is a way that you can connect with that significant other in your life by cooking a meal. I'm not saying cooking all of your meals together, but maybe cooking that meal or planning a trip or maybe a family game night or joining them if they're running to the grocery store or what have you. But that is a way of investing in your family, investing in yourself. That is the word to the wise. Invest in yourself, Joe McKenzie.
I can really appreciate that as a, you know, someone that, you know, watched you and how you've helped people and how that's allowed me to invest in my children, my family, but in their careers too, you know, spending time with them. And you're right. I think the word invest sometimes brings up about the money that needs to be spent. And really it's time. It's energy. It's just paying attention. It's carving out time to be a part of that, other people's lives, or just spend more time in your own life. And it doesn't have to always mean spending money. And that, I think that is where we're going to have that breakthrough. Many people do think you have to spend money, and it's not always the case in what you're saying here today.
Exactly. I started out with money because I think that's where most people go when they think about the words invest in yourself. And that's the real value of the book, Words to the Wise. You can find your own truth. You can find your own value by taking time to think about the words that are written in this book. It's designed to be not more than a sentence. Two sentences is really long for this particular book, but it allows you with white space in the book to write on those pages the thoughts that come to you and the ideas and processes that help you to be a better person than you were before you turned a page in the book. Joe McKenzie, exactly. I've got to leave it right there. Do you have a final thought?
I just know that investing in yourself means more than just money, and it's investing in a lot of different areas. And sometimes just starting at one point gives you that opportunity to invest in other areas of life. So thank you, Freddie Bell, for those words to the wise.
It's my pleasure. Joe McKenzie does fine work at Ripple Connects. I heard that he turns candidates into contenders. Thanks for being with us, Joe.
Thank you, Freddie Bell.
Thanks for joining us this weekend on New Beginnings. And it happened this week. In 1831, the nation's first indicted bank robber, Edward Smith, was sentenced to 5 years of hard labor in Sing Sing prison. In 1908, wireless radio broadcasting received a patent by Nathan B. Stubblefield. In 1932, the body of the kidnapped son of Charles Lindbergh was found in a wooded area of Hopewell, New Jersey. In 1955, passengers crowded to the ride of the last run of the L train in New York City. The trip took them from Chinatown to the Bronx. In 1970, Chicago Cubs Hall of Famer Ernie Banks hit his 500th home run. In 1978, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced it would alternate between men's and women's names when naming hurricanes. In 1982, the U.S. Football League was formed. In 1987, Frank Sinatra canceled a performance in Sweden after the Stockholm government levied a special tax on him because he had performed in South Africa in violation of the artistic boycott of that country over South Africa's apartheid policies. And finally, in 1992, the actor Robert Reed died at the age of 59. He is best known for his role as Mike Brady, the father on The Brady Bunch. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and what great conversation we've been having so far. And now we go to talking about caregiving. I think it's one of the most important and even challenging roles that we can take on as our people in our family start to age, or even if they're working through some type of disability. Joining us is Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. Tell us, Kathy, what does AARP provide in terms of resources for those who are caregivers and those who may need some respite from the work that they do to take care of their loved ones?
Yeah, well, thank you, Freddie. And you are absolutely correct. Caregiving is just, it's one of the most important yet challenging roles that folks take. And the interesting thing, Freddie, is that so many people who are caregivers, who are taking care of someone in their life, whether it's a loved one, a spouse, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, they may not call themselves a caregiver. Just because you pick up someone's medication or you give them a ride to the doctor, or if you're doing, more intense, you know, whether medicine management or end of life caregiving, that is such an important role. And most people don't even necessarily identify that they are being a caregiver. And the good thing is that AARP is here to help all along that journey. We have a number of resources to help, prepare to care. So if you are a family that likes to plan things out, we have a number of resources to help plan that journey, make sure that your wishes are taken care of and that your family knows what those wishes are, and then leveraging local resources to help along that journey.
Let's talk about the last thing you mentioned, the resources. Do you have resources or workshops or seminars coming up that these caregivers, to which they can avail themselves?
We do. We have a number of free workshops that are really designed to help you connect with other caregivers in the area, or learn how to build that really supportive team, that caregiver team that you need to rely on. So, you know, steps to aid in your caregiving journey, connect and exchange tips with fellow caregivers. And we have a few of those coming up at different places in the city as well as online. So the 20th of May from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It's at the Embassy Suites Hotel by Hilton in Brooklyn Center. And then on May 30th, the DoubleTree by Hilton in St. Paul from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then there's also an online one that will be offered in June. So if you can't make those first two, June 20th from 5 to 6 p.m., there'll be an online version of that same workshop.
Give us a sense of how valuable caregivers are. I know AARP does a lot of research in that area. It's no small thing, the work that caregivers do.
Right. So we just released in the last month or so our latest Valuing the Invaluable report. And we know that in Minnesota, there are roughly 530,000 caregivers right here in Minnesota. And they're putting in anywhere from 20 hours to more a week, providing that care, uncompensated care, that we know is valued at about $10 billion. And wow. So that is, it's no small amount. You know, family caregivers truly are the backbone of our long-term care delivery system right here in Minnesota.
Are there printed resources or online resources that are available for those who can't make it to the classes?
Yes, absolutely. So you can visit online, aarp.org/caregiving. Or if you need a localized list of resources that are available to you, you can call the AERP Family Caregiving Resource Line. So hopefully folks have a pen or pencil nearby, 877-333-5885. And all you have to do is indicate you'd like the resources for Minnesota, and they will mail a copy to you.
Great information, Kathy. We have to wrap it right there. Thank you so much for being with us and talking about caregiving on New Beginnings. It's New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. International Red Sneakers Day marks a growing movement with a mission to save the lives of those with food allergies while also sharing the story and memory of a boy who loved red sneakers. Food allergies come in many forms. While one person's body might have a deadly reaction to nuts, another's allergy will be shellfish. The common issue is that both are life-threatening conditions. International Red Sneakers Day promotes improved awareness of all food allergies and support for those who have them. It's International Red Sneakers Day, and this is New Beginnings.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Let's dive in, and we'll make sure your investments work for you throughout your golden years. And first, I want to say hello to Leibel Sternbach. Welcome, 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 welcome back. And thank you again for scaring the heck out of us last week.
Hey, just doing my job. Just doing my job.
He is the author of Living with Financial Anxiety and also the author of Authenticity. He publishes a regular financial column. He hosts this show. And he also, you can find him on TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. You're a man about town. Let's talk about, it's so intriguing, investing while you're in retirement. Do you think that investing in retirement has changed in 2023, sir?
100%. I think that it has fundamentally changed. It has changed significantly. The biggest change is that it used to be that people had, you know, the amount that they had in their bonds portion. So when you talk about the 60-40 portfolio, 60% in the stock market, right, 40% in bonds or something else that was safe. Generally speaking, right, you had one of two advisors. You had advisors who were like, well, we can't really be in 40% in something that's low risk because it's not getting anything or it's actually, you know, going negative. So they would go after things that you could call bonds, but were actually high risk, right? So people ended up with very high risk portfolios. So that was option number one. Option number two was people were doing the 60-40 and their assets just weren't growing as fast as they should have, you know, based on what a 60-40 is supposed to do. Now, come you know, 2023, interest rates are, we've shot well past the historical average for the Federal Reserve rate, which means interest rates are back and climbing. The Fed says they're going to keep going up, which means bonds, right? Investing in individual bonds, right? Or, well, really, even bond funds, which have been pretty stable for the last 10 years, those are no longer stable anymore because the price of bonds is fluctuating so much. So in order to create, you know, a stable retirement portfolio, one that has, you know, less volatility, so less ups and downs, so that you can take money out of it during retirement and not worry so much, that has gotten a lot more complicated. And what I find myself doing, right, you know, a year or 2 years ago, I was perfectly fine having my clients in, you know, they would say, oh, my 401k is invested in, you know, a target date fund. I'd be like, sure, okay, you know, your target date fund is a 60-40, 70-30. It's a good amount of risk. But with interest rates changing and changing so much, I have them separating that out. And I have them, you know, going directly in equities for the portion and then investing directly in treasuries or something else that they have available instead of allowing the target date fund to do it, because the target date funds, a lot of them are taking on excessive risk. And if you look at their, you know, growth charts, they went down, right, significantly in, you know, over the last 2 years, but then they didn't participate in the recovery. Which to me is, well, if you're taking on the risk, then you should have the recovery, right? Mm-hmm. That is the entire purpose, right? So if you didn't protect me on the downside, then at least help me get the upside. And a lot of, I mean, I can't tell you how many, and it's across the board, whether it's, you know, JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley or, you know, Primerica, Transamerica. I mean, I've seen across the board these managed mutual funds that are supposed to be managing the risk, very few of them are doing a good job. And all of them are failing on the upside, right? It's like most of them failed on the downside. Few of them are doing a good job on the upside. I literally saw, I think in like 30 or 40 that I've analyzed recently, one that was doing a good job. So when it comes to 2023, I think the, you know, the whole game has changed. You need to take a more hands-on approach. I think that you need to, when it comes to bonds, right? I see people, even professional investors, they're like, oh, let me buy a one-year treasury. Let me buy a three-year treasury. I think you need to take a much shorter term approach. And you also need to look at your bigger picture of like, okay, what happens if inflation stays at 4 or 5 or 6% for the next few years, right? What if it never comes down, right? Mm. What if 4% is the new normal for the next 10 years? What then, right? What is your plan? Because that's going to affect the bond market. It's going to affect the stock market. It's going to affect, you know, I follow a whole bunch of venture capitalists, and they're talking about what's going on in Silicon Valley, where the whole dynamic of what it takes to make a startup has changed fundamentally because of interest rates. So I think that when it comes to retirement in 2023, mm-hmm. investing has fundamentally changed. You have to take a more hands-on approach. You can't just have a buy and hold and, you know, set it and forget it. You need to really look to the future and say, this is what I think the future is going to be, not this is what did well in the past. It needs to be, this is what I think the future is going to do. And this is investments that are positioned for the future.
So would you call this a precarious situation for retirees or an advantage situation for retirees?
It's precarious in the sense that you can no longer be a passive participant in your retirement plan, right? For the vast majority of your life, being a passive participant was perfectly fine. You just kept putting money in your 401k. Your 401k was managed pretty well, and you didn't have to worry about it. You know, eventually you recovered. Come today, especially with retirement being so close, with taxes changing, you got to be an active participant, because the professional players, right? There's a saying, right? Nobody got fired for buying IBM, right? There's a lot of that happening right now. What that means is that people are doing what is the non-suable choice, right? The thing that you can't come to them and say, well, you mismanaged my portfolio. They're not doing the right thing. They're doing the thing that they can't be sued about. And so you need to take some more active control, because a lot of the big professional advisors, especially the bigger they get, so people who are managing mutual funds, people who are managing huge amounts of mutual funds, when you think like BlackRock and Vanguard and Fidelity and whatever, right? They can't afford to be sued by a 401k for taking on too much risk. So they're doing things by the book. And the book is wrong this year, right? Because the book that has been correct for the last 20 years, and the truth is the book that was correct for the last, you know, for most of the last 40 years, did not anticipate a market that we're in today, right? It hasn't happened before. The Wall Street Journal just today, while I was preparing for this podcast, right? The Wall Street Journal said that we haven't had a bear market that has lasted this long since 1973, I think, right?
Wow.
Yeah. We are, you know, and that's 50 years. So we are talking about things that have not happened before, that are, you know, are not baked into all these rules and all of these regression analysis and all these statistics. It really doesn't matter if the statistics say something, but if something wasn't part of that population, if that wasn't something accounted for, It doesn't matter, right? And that's what we're experiencing right now. So you need to think a little bit. You got to be an active participant, not a passive participant.
It's really interesting. If we've learned nothing else in listening to your podcast, we know this one thing, that everybody's situation is different. There's some high-level commonalities. However, knowing that, I still have to ask you this question. What do you recommend that your clients do? How do you recommend they invest their money, especially if they're intending to do it in retirement?
So when it comes to investing your money, I think that you need to look at what investments you're holding. I think more important than ever is you got to look at it first from a time perspective, right? Just to make it easy on yourself, right? You got to say, separate your investments out and say, this investment is for what I'm going to live on for the next year or two or 3 years. This is investments that I'm going to live on in, 3 to 5 years. And then this is the investments that are long term into the future, right? This is what I'm going to have a future from. And you need to separate those out, right? Because the decisions that you make for money that you're spending tomorrow is different than the money that you're investing for 3 or 4 years or 5 years, right? And it's certainly a lot different than what you're investing for 10 years from now, right? Because from 10 years from now, we got statistics on our side, right? What's happening right now in the economy, what's happening right now in the stock market, right? It's going to be a blip, right? Even when you look at 2008, like no matter what happened in the market, no matter what time period you look at, 10 years, right? It not only recovered, but it grew, right? So, generally speaking, you can take on more risk in that, when you're looking at that 10-year bucket. But when we're looking at the near term, right? Up until now, you didn't have much options, right? So people were putting it into, bonds and things to grow interest rates, or they were leaving it in their checking account. Right now, you need to find either a checking account or a money market account that's paying 5%, right? Or close to that, because you need your money to grow at least close to inflation, because you need to be able to spend you need to buy the same goods. You need the same bread and milk and eggs. I mean, eggs, I don't know if you've seen the cost on eggs have skyrocketed. So yes. You need to be able to afford these life essentials. And so you need your everyday money to grow. And then the things that are 3 to 5 years, right? Hopefully the market will recover in 3 to 5 years. I think it will. But you need investments that are designed for 3 to 5 years. They can have more volatility, but not that much, because you're going to need them, right? So that's where maybe if you want to have those CDs, right, that are paying, 6-7%, if you can find them, right, maybe have some equity in there, you can take those investments on. But I think looking at it from time horizons is really important right now, and then making sure you're taking on appropriate risk for the future. Right. So I think that, throw out that 60-40 idea and just look at a time horizon.
Interesting. So tell me, how does Johnny Lunchbucket navigate this? How does the savvy investor navigate this, especially if they want to do it on their own? If they do, how do they go about it? Or should we just say, no, I'm just going to talk to Label or somebody like him?
So I think that it depends on, I think it really comes down to how good do you feel about your decisions, right? When will you be questioning your decision all the time and whether you're making the right move? Or will you have confidence that, no, I made the best decision and you're not going to worry about it, right? If you're someone who logs into your bank account every day or even once a week, then I highly recommend that at least just for the next year or two, get yourself a financial advisor, even a fee-only financial advisor or a financial coach, someone who can talk you off the ledge from selling at the wrong time. Right. Because it's going to be a crazy ride. No matter what happens, I can guarantee you this, the next 24 months is going to be a wild ride, right? Because we have right now what's happening in the economy, and we have this war with Russia and Ukraine that is, about to really take off as their winter comes to an end. So we have the repercussions from that. The market will hopefully recover by the end of the year. Right. And stabilize somewhere. But based on the numbers that we're seeing, that's not a certainty. And then we get into the 2024 election cycle. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's going to be a hot election because you've got a polarized country. You've got an economy that's, all over the place. And we have the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that's going to affect so many people. So we know it's going to be a contentious election. And then we know that whatever happens the first year of the election, there's going to be something about this Tax Cut and Jobs Act that takes place. All of that affects the stock market. So for the next really until we have some clarity as to who's going to win and what the agenda is, it's going to be a very bumpy ride, right? So you need to have a plan for that volatility.
So what do you have for us at yieldsforyou.com that can help us to think through these points that you just raised?
Go to my website, get that 321 retirement plan. I walk through step by step how to implement this in your life, in your retirement, so that you can create those different time horizons, those different buckets, how you should look at it. What are the important decision-making factors when you're making these decisions? So go through that. I highly recommend it. And then if you go through that and you're like, well, I need some help on the investment side, I need some help on this side, I have classes on each of those specific topics that you can take a look at on our website. But start with that 321 retirement plan. That's where you want to start. That is the basis, really, for making all these decisions.
The website is yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number four, the letter U.com. And you can, I mean, it's just a wealth of information at Label's website. Do yourself a favor and stop there. Do you have a final thought? We only have 30 seconds.
Final thought is that at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is that you get to enjoy your retirement, right? Forget about the stock markets, forget about anything else. You need to have a plan to enjoy your time, right? And so when you're making your retirement plan, when you're making your investment plan, that should be front and center and everything else should follow.
Makes a lot of sense to me. That's all the time we have left, Label. Join us again next week, everyone, as we talk about what we have in store for 2023. You don't want to miss this one. Label's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number four, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. On the lighter side this weekend, two Oklahoma police officers have a funny story to tell after responding to a report about somebody heard yelling for help. Body cam footage from the officers shows them arriving on the scene in a rural area in Enid, Oklahoma, and soon discovering that the sound was actually a very upset goat. The owner explained that the goat was mad about being separated from another goat. McDonald's is liable in a lawsuit that claimed hot chicken nuggets left a girl severely burned. The jury found McDonald's in Fort Lauderdale failed to put warnings on the food that led to the child's injury in 2019. Another trial later this summer will determine how much McDonald's and the franchise owner will have to pay in damages. The plaintiff is seeking $15,000. In the 90s, a woman won a $600,000 lawsuit from Mickey D's for coffee that was too hot. For its part, McDonald's says it disagrees with the recent verdict, saying it has been safely serving its patrons for more than 70 years. An investigation is underway after a possible meteorite struck a home in Mercer County, New Jersey. The suspected space object crashed into a house in Hopewell Township and pierced a roof and a ceiling before landing on a hardwood floor. Police say it was oblong, metallic, and about the size of a large avocado. They think it could be related to a recent meteor shower, but have contacted experts to figure it out. The folks were at home, but fortunately, no one was hurt. A Michigan woman didn't let her baby's early arrival stop her from accepting her college diploma. Kelsey Huddy of Dearborn, Michigan, was in labor last weekend when she walked across the stage at Henry Ford College to accept her bachelor's degree in liberal arts. Huddy says even if she had her baby before the walk, she was determined to walk across that stage. After her aunt, who works at the school, told administrators about the situation, they let Huddy sit up on the stage and moved her up in the order to accommodate the unusual circumstance. Both mother and newborn Lila are home from the hospital and they're healthy. And finally, two very little boys are in pretty big trouble after they crashed their parents' car. The six-year-old and the three-year-old brothers sneaked out of the family's home in Malaysia late Wednesday night when their mother was in the bathroom and their father was asleep. They headed out to buy a new toy car. The six-year-old was behind the wheel when mom and dad's car hit a lamppost. Police say the older boy cut his chin and his brother was not injured, fortunately. On the lighter side this week on New Beginnings. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
The popular author Marianne Williamson said in her first and most famous book, A Return to Love, that God, the divine, speaks to us in a way we can hear. That's comforting. God gets our attention uniquely. For some of us, it's on Sunday morning in a beautiful worship service with wonderful music and focused prayer that some of us grasp that idea of the Christ incarnation, Christ within. Others explore this world of wonders in many ways. The arts, exploring nature. And there, they really get it. They get that idea. Others reach a hand out to the world, encouraging the disheartened, feeding the hungry, visiting those that are in some form of bondage, mental or imprisoned. They reach out and serve another, lifting another up, and that's how they get the idea. I tried to convey last week in the Easter lesson this idea of service, ministering, helping another. For those of us that have most of our life needs met, we're relatively comfortable. Some are extremely comfortable and blessed with many things. People that live in abundance, if you think about it, they only get this idea, they only find this joy through reaching out and helping those who don't have as much. Think about it. Their prayers, their desires, their dreams, their goals have been met. Where are they going to find joy? But in helping others discover the goodness of God. And for those of us that have limitations or lack in our life, our joy comes when someone comes to help us, to lift us up, to encourage us, a teacher, an aid, someone that helps you, and then you get it, this grand idea. I must be worth something. Carol came to my aid. Gerald thought I was worthy of help, of a little boost. As Marianne Williamson said, God speaks to us in a way that we can hear uniquely, our way. Rohr goes on to describe this incarnational world view. The divine, the Christ, is permeating all. He describes it as an idea in which matter and spirit are understood to have never been separated. Rudolf Steiner said it very simply and briefly, which is kind of unusual for Rudolf Steiner. And he said, there is never matter, this material stuff, there is never matter that is not filled with spirit. And there is never spirit in isolation that is not expressing somehow in matter. Many of us have believed God up there, we're alone down here. The Christ idea, it's all one. It's all one. Our part is to understand that. In the church, we would say it is our job to hold the faith, to believe in the unlimited possibilities that good will express in each and every situation. This view relies more, listen, on awakening than joining some spiritual community. It relies more on awakening than joining, more on seeing than obeying, more on growth in consciousness and love than on clergy, experts, morality, scriptures, or rituals. The code word that Rohr chooses for this worldview, this perspective on life, is simply Christ. And in our tradition, it is, you know, Christ within. So I invite you this week, we'll begin in a moment of silence, but play with this preposition and this proposition. Play with this idea of divinity, of God's presence, of the risen one, of the anointed, of the power, of the good. Is it located within you? Or is it your proposition, your perspective, your worldview, how you see others, how you see this world, how you see the possibilities, how you see the path before you? It is a world of wonders. So let's take a moment and turn within. I'm going to speak a very old form of this idea. It inspired our prayer for protection that we speak every Sunday, and hopefully more often than that. It was taken from the 5th century prayer attributed to St. Patrick. St. Patrick's breastplate, his protection. And I'll speak it in part. I invite you to close your eyes and let this go to the very center, the very withinness of your being. Be Christ this day my strong protector against poison and wounding, through reward wide and plenty. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me. Christ is in my lying, my sitting, my rising. Christ is heart of all who know me. Christ on tongue of all who meet me. Christ in eye of all who see me. Christ in ear of all who hear me.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Here are today's words to the wise. I know when enough is enough. Knowing when enough is enough is a powerful tool for living a fulfilling and a balanced life. We only have a finite amount of time and energy, and we need to use these resources wisely. Knowing our limits also allows us to prioritize the things that truly matter to us, whether it's spending time with loved ones, pursuing a passion project, or simply taking time for self-care. When we know when enough is enough, we can live our lives with intention and purpose and avoid getting caught up in the endless cycle of busyness and stress. I know when enough is enough. Today's words to the wise. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.